I don't know what I could even share those with my wife. So she could do a better job probably explaining the Timber Bay ministry than I can. But first of all, I want to apologize. You are family to me, to us, and often I take for granted that you understand exactly what Timber Bay is, and I look around and I know that there are people that don't know what Timber Bay is. So I love the new faces. Let me just quickly give an update. Timber Bay is now this year 50 years young. So really what that means is about 50 years ago, a man had a vision. His name is Dick Plape, that the church really needed to be more specifically involved on the streets, in the homes, with the courts, with the schools, working with families. As you remember, about that time, the state took over caring for families. And a lot of what happened at that time was, men, dads, were either by choice removed from the families, or the state and counties started taking care of families, and men kind of weren't involved as much in the families. Today, 50 years later, most of the families that are referred to us as an arm, again, remember Timber Bay is a specific arm of the church, work of the church, on the streets with these broken families. We are now filling in as fast as we can the last 50 years with bringing the good news of the gospel into those homes, but bringing godly role models into the lives of those broken families. As you know, it isn't just the family that sometimes we recognize as across the tracks that needs that help. In the past, information has been out that the church is also guilty of broken families, broken marriages, broken homes, broken children. Our task is to come alongside of those families to assist the parents and guardians wherever we can find them, wherever they're referred to us, and really be the arm of the church to them, by providing not only the gospel but personal relationships that result in kids and families graduating first time in their families. So each year, the years that I've spent with Timber Bay, we graduate kids for the first time, students for the first time in their families. So yes, those things are very important to us, that children are thriving and doing well in all areas of their life. But as soon as they are able to move on, we want them to move on with God as their father, setting that direction, guiding them, helping them, assisting them. Well, as most of you know, 18 and 19 doesn't become automatically this where this automatic change takes place, right, adults, so that you automatically become super responsible and you move on in life, and all the things that you've learned along the way are now in place, and you are super capable for adulthood. That's not the case. For many of us, it wasn't, and we had huge support. So I have the privilege now, after 36 years with Timber Bay, actually Bonnie reminded me on the way this morning, 46 years working with youth. I still love working with youth. I just don't love being in the cabins with middle school boys anymore. So I've moved. I've graduated. The thing I get to do now that just absolutely just fires me up every morning is Bonnie could tell you about the men and women that have contacted us this week for hope and help and direction, almost all of them for encouragement. But I get to serve all of the alumni, all of the kids that have come through the program, come through the ministry in the past 36 years with Timber Bay. Actually, I have grandparents, and anyway, I go back 46 years with some of the young people that I served who still want to be encouraged and ministered to and helped along the way. So that's my full-time ministry right now. This last week, 40 and 50-year-old Native American young man asking for help because he needs to go to treatment. I want to be the guy that helps him. Big Tim kind of became family to us. Hugely broken home, And really, let me share with you later if you have questions. But anyway, Tim has been now, after jail and prison and moving on with life, has become a father, and that has just 100% changed his life. He has now moved from a great job in Williston to, where is it, Bonnie? Missouri. A fellow that he worked with said, I got a company, plumbing company down here. I want you as my partner. He just moved. For the first time in 20 years, we met with Tim in Fargo between Williston and Missouri. I can show you the picture later. He looks just like us. He's 6'9", and he has bright red hair, and he's just huge. He just looks just like us. But we basically are, he's called us mom and dad since he was 13 probably. Anyway, since I was able to take over this position a year and a half ago, I think right now, I knew that if I opened the door too wide, I always ministered to alumni that have come through. Marla knows what that's like when people leave youth group. There are adults in the room that are older that were probably youth group people years back. More than 200 alumni have come back in contact. And I would say it's closer to 250 now in 18 months. So I need your prayers as family to help me know just exactly how to encourage those, how to help those find the services and the help that they need. Thank you for your love, your support. I met Marlon in 1971. This will age us. In 1981, I moved his sister, Bonnie, because we were married in 75, moved. We started ministry, but in 81, we moved to Bemidji. And I started ministry there, and so that's about how long I've been involved with these guys. So you guys are family, and thank you again for all your support and your love. And that's more than 5 minutes, but those other missionaries aren't here.
Thank you, Steve. I can make you come back up here to, but I won't do it. No, you're fine. Oh, thank you, and thank you for your ministry as well. It's wonderful to be able to support all of the different missionaries that we do. So I'm serving a dual role here today, actually maybe several roles, because we all wear many hats. One is privileged to serve as an elder in the church here and to minister along with you all in the body of Christ. And great to be able to know that we are ministering throughout the world, whether the world includes Bemidji or Haiti or all the other places that we are at. It is wonderful to be able to do that. And thank you, too, to the missions team from our church for all the work that you do and for making this day, this Mission Sunday, possible. I remember as a kid growing up in church and having the missions conferences where you got to hear from the missionaries, and that really did mean a lot to me as a kid because I grew up and I became a missionary myself. So I know we got a lot of young people and young at heart people as well that are listening, because you can become a missionary at any time, and in fact, if we think about it, we all are missionaries right now. My name is Nathan Thompson. I am with North St. Louis County Habitat for Humanity. Habitat for Humanity is an ecumenical Christian housing ministry, and our goal is to serve those in need of a simple, decent, affordable place to live. Now, the Habitat model has been happening, for a long time, even before it became Habitat for Humanity. I often think to myself, if you go all the way back to to Nehemiah, and he was called by God and burdened to go rebuild the wall around Jerusalem so that they could have safety and security and stability, and God called them to do that. And, in all of the challenges that they had with all of the enemy and everything else that was happening as they built that wall, How on earth could they get that done in such a short time? Well, Scripture said that amongst all of the challenges and all of the persecution and the heat and the arrows and all of the stuff that was going on, they had a mind to work. They set their mind on the goals that God gave them to do, and as they did that, focusing on the mission that God gave them, they were able to do the work. I'll talk a little bit about that with Habitat and, in all of our lives in general, we have got challenges going on. But where's your focus, I think, is the important thing. Because if you focus on the things that God wants you to do and God has for you to do and God needs for you to do, the challenges can certainly be overcome. When I was a kid, I helped my dad build his house. And he had people from Moss Bluff Bible Church. Moss Bluff is right where this last hurricane hit and did extensive damage to that area and to that church, but they're rebuilding as well. But he had Christians from Moss Bluff Bible Church come down to South Texas, and I went as well for a week, and they helped us build our house. When I built my house years ago, we built a house in Texas when we were missionaries there. And our local church came out and helped us build. You know, I built with, I had one of the folks in the church made land available to us that we were able to purchase affordably. We saved up a few pennies. We got a loan from one of our other Christian brothers for a few extra dollars. And every afternoon when people got off of work, they'd come over and they'd help me build my house. You know what? That was Habitat for Humanity. We just didn't call it that, but it was people helping people in need. And that same spirit, and I don't want to put the Mitchells on the hook here because I didn't tell her I was going to do this, but you know, we're doing the same thing with Dana and your family. It's like, as a church, we're gathering together. We have the ability to do that and help you with that need of being able to build an affordable home. And thanks to everybody. It's like, I know we got a couple of people here. Maybe Bruce will be here in the next service. But it is important as we gather together to help those in our own church family. And then with Habitat for Humanity, we as a church body have the ability to help those in our community at large, those who have a need for affordable housing. Our challenges at Habitat, when the pandemic, COVID, hit in March, we had 4 active projects that were supposed to be done by the end of May. They shut down. Along with everybody else. And so those 4 projects, we started them back up in June with limited volunteer help, as you guys can imagine. We just dedicated the last 2 of those 4 that got completed on Friday of this week. So praise the Lord for that. Those families will now be moving into their homes. And we wanted to start 5 homes this year. And the 5th one was going to be our 100th family served, our 100th home. And, you know, when I made those plans back in 2019, I'm always careful to be like, I'm making plans, Lord, but it's, you know, Lord willing and everything go fine because I've learned. But little did I know when we were making those plans and you know, putting t-shirts with 100th family served and having dinners with, we're going to serve our 100th family. I think I pretty much always said, Lord willing. Because the Lord had different plans, so we got 99, and we'll soon get that 100th house up. We wanted to start 5 of them. The 5th one would have been the 100th, but you know, with God's grace and your guys' help and support, we've been able to start 4 projects with families in need of shelter in our community. And just like Nehemiah, he built the wall. They needed strength, stability, security that wall offered, that shelter offered them. And the second half of the book of Nehemiah, what did he do? He brought Ezra in, the priest. And then they could start working on the ministry of their spiritual hearts as well. So Habitat for Humanity, we are a light of the gospel of Christ. We help people put their faith into action in the community. You get to rub shoulders with people of all walks and all faith or no faith. But you have the opportunity to be the light of the gospel of what we can do to help a family in need. And then there's plenty of opportunity to minister as we go down the road. So our church here, I wanted to hold up the sign. We helped build it. We as in you, we, I'm famous for that as a boss. I'm like, can we do this and can we do that? Can we continue to help our neighbors in need of affordable housing? Yes, we can. we can help build it. And thank you. We've got volunteers, tremendous volunteer support from this church, financial support. I've got many of our folks are on our board. I literally would have to say that the Evangelical Free Church of Embarrass is one of the, if not the most involved church in Habitat's ministry across the Iron Range. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Nathan and Steve. Are we ready to hear from Nathan and Shannon Cranes? You're working on it, okay? While they work on that, let's flip things and hear from our YFC director. We support Youth for Christ here on the range, and Brad Munson is here with us today, and he's going to let us know what God's been doing as the school year started on the range in various ways, and the different challenges that have come his way. But God is working. We thank God for Brad and his passion for teenagers. So come and give a greeting and tell us what's going on, Brad.
Whew, good morning. A lot of bright, shining faces and colorful masks. Wonderful to see you all. Always a treat to make the trek over to Embarrass. Just want to say, first of all, thank you. You guys are just so incredible, such a huge supporter of us for, before my time, I don't even know how long, and we could not do without you guys' support. So I want to make sure I say thank you. Let's see, first update was, so this was our launch. We did a color war, chalk and flour. It's actually really great for a youth event. That was really great, and that would have been 2 weeks ago. And didn't know what to expect with relaunching through all the COVID stuff and everything, but it just worked out really well. We had a lot of fun. We were also very busy this summer. Again, throughout the quarantine, we really didn't want to try to host too many events over that time. We spent all summer either selling peaches or remodeling our office. So we can go to the first picture, whatever that would be, doesn't really matter, of the office. So that is our gymnasium. If you need help redoing your hardwood floor, don't ask me. I'm done with that for a long time. a lot of sanding. And so that is our new space. We painted pretty much every square inch of our office. That is our new couch hangout area. We got a sectional couch donated, another couch donated. We're just so proud of our space. Let's see what else we have here on the pictures. We should have one. Okay, Kyle, we should have one. Yep. Okay, another picture of the office. A little desk there. Trying to get some computers fixed up to maybe help for students that need to do homework. That is our now office space. Of course, couldn't hide all of the youth things. We got some some balls under the desk. That is now our office space. And really, what we wanted to do, we thought about remodeling for a long time, and obviously, it was a good time to do it. We just really felt like their office was fine the way it was, and we just really wanted to move forward and send the message that we're no longer okay being just okay. We want an excellent space that kids can feel safe and comfortable and like a home to them. Because like with Timber Bay even talked about too, we see so many students that come from a broken family. I mean, for me, I would say it's easily 80%+ of kids that attend any of our programs are from some form of broken family. And we just want to make sure that space is a home away from home that they can feel safe and be in. And is that any more pictures you can show too? But that is what we've been up to throughout the summer. And I guess thank you anybody who came by a peach stand and got peaches. I hope they were wonderful. We had an excellent peach sale this summer. We sold out all three sales. It was incredible. Just really great. And I guess moving forward this school year, as far as we know, unless something changes, we cannot step foot inside the schools. potentially the charter school in Eveleth, maybe a little tiny bit, which would be great. And just to give you some perspective, I spent probably half my work week, like 20 plus hours a week in the schools last year, going to Virginia, Eveleth, some breakfast clubs all over the place. So we are missing a lot of time with students. So it is really, really difficult. And we are just trying our best to message who I can message, get the word out the best I can, and it is such a challenge. So I would say one thing you could do is just keep, like our Facebook page, share any posts we might have, tell teens or parents of teens that you know about it in that area to check out our programs. We now switched to our high school, 9th through 12th grade, Mondays 6 to 8 p.m., and our Tuesdays for middle school, 5th through 8th grade, right after school on Tuesdays in our office. So let's see. Well, I guess more of a big picture. Like I said, we're trying to transition into just excellence the best we can in our programs. And we need your prayers for that. we're certainly in need of volunteers. And you know, if that's something, and I know, and I've been to a lot of churches, spoken to a lot of people, that's a scary thing to say. And that we need help, and I know you guys already do so much, but if you at least consider it, and what we'd like to do is the more volunteers we get, the less everybody has to help, in a way. Because we had one volunteer last year, we only had a few for each club, and she was there every single week, on time, all the time, and it's like, if I could have just, you know, given her a break or so, I'm sure she would have really appreciated that once a month or something, so... if you're, talk to me after, if you're at least maybe kind of potentially a little interested, please talk to me. We can find a way to minister. And that's the beauty of Youth for Christ and youth ministry is really we can find any of your passions and hobbies that you love, and we can match them up with students and just make a ministry, whether it's, you know, one fishing trip a whole year. Because I'm a sports guy with throwing or hitting a ball. I'm not really a fishing rod type of guy at the moment, okay? So anything like that, just for an example, there we can always make something out of whatever you'd like to do, okay? And even I like what they said with their ministry in Timber Bay. I'm just like, wow, it is so similar in the sense that we just want to be role models for these students, build these relationships, love on these kids, show them the gospel, and just, and even my drive over, I was listening to Do It Again by Elevation Worship, and it starts out with, like, walking around these walls. I thought by now they'd fall, you know, walking around the walls of Jericho, and I just feel like that's in the season we're in, where our, this valley of dry bones of the Iron Range, okay, this valley of dry bones, and I feel like in a way, we're almost just walking around the Iron Range, just waiting and just trying to be faithful, and eventually these walls will crash. Because I know that big things are coming for our area. I know that so deep down in my heart that there are great things coming and a move of God coming, and we just want to be ready for it. So thank you guys so much again. For your support, your prayers. I love hearing, I can't tell you how much I love hearing, whether it's email or whatever, just saying, hey, yeah, I've been praying for you guys. So keep it up. Thank you guys again so much. God bless. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. How are we doing? Okay, maybe 11 o'clock service, we'll get to hear from Nathan and Shannon. We're going to have our worship team come. Thank you. Wow. Eric Burvig is his name, one of the missionaries that we support. His ministry is in the nation of Haiti, a different part of Haiti than where Pastor St. Luke works, but ministering to the people there, especially children in Haiti. So Eric's going to come, and he's going to share about the ministry and some of the thoughts that are on his mind this morning.
Thanks, Marlon. Good morning, everybody. I was going to defer my 5 minutes back to Steve, but it looks like we didn't have the video, so I'm stuck with all of my time. But it's a pleasure to be here this morning. You're going to see some pictures behind me. These come from Jeremy, Haiti, where our school is. Jennifer and the other kids weren't able to make it this morning, but me and Toby made the drive up, my 10-year-old son, and we're just grateful to be here with you this morning. Of course, we want to thank you so much for your monthly support of our ministry in Haiti. Your money goes directly to help our kids in Jeremy and our staff there, and it's just such a blessing to them as we continue to provide Christian education and meal program for the 37 kids that are in our school. For those of you who don't know, we started this school back in 2015 down in Jeremy, which is in the southwestern corner of Haiti. And we've been able to continue on through this year, you know, given the many setbacks that we had this year, which we'll kind of get into a little bit, through, you know, really God's provision of both our Haitian staff and through my friend Jonas Hochstetler from Napanee, Indiana. So, you know, for those of you who don't know, we are still stateside. You know, I still work just like you. I'm one of the called out ones living and working in Minnesota and yet faithfully administrating our school from here. And we have Jonas Hochstetler working with us, our friend from Indiana, this year for the first time, kind of on the ground with our school and with our students. So it's really exciting as we begin that partnership with Jonas and his new wife. He's recently married. He married a Haitian woman from Jeremy. And so they're going to become a vital part of our program moving forward. Our program is a Christian school. It's a primary school. We serve 37 students with education and a day school educational program, discipleship and meals. And so we're able to do that in grades 1, 2, 3, and 4. This year we expanded our program to the fourth grade, which is what our facility will kind of support at this point. So, you know, where we're headed with this is to continue to grow. We're hoping to get from serving first through fourth grade to first through fifth grade next year with our school open and available for everybody. We are continuing to work towards you know, establishing a completed building so that the church and school can function, you know, more fully. And to that point, we want to get to that point. You know, this past year we've had a lot of setbacks, obviously, with our school closing in March. There was a lot of political unrest in Haiti this last year, coupled with inflation issues that have been really devastating to the local community. And then, of course, COVID-19, which kind of sent some waves in the Haitian communities. But fortunately, as we started our school back up in September, September 1st, we started, and we really haven't had any hindrance to that. In the rural parts of Haiti, COVID is not an issue. They're kind of getting back to life as normal, which is encouraging, because they're not seeing spread in those areas. And so that's a real blessing. So as we continue to facilitate and support our Haitian staff, Val and Fredo, who you saw on the slides there, our teachers and our support staff, the cooks that work there, we just need continued prayer that the obstacles that have been in the way this past year would be removed so that I can get back. I plan to return back to Haiti in January on a trip to kind of reestablish our commitment to building the building, which is our number one priority at this point, and to continue to do that. And so the Lord has been really gracious to provide the funds for us to do that. We just need the door to open so that we can get the materials, get the people organized to do the work there. So, you know, obviously continue to pray for our staff and students who've kind of been through a lot this past year with COVID-19, and more specifically in Haiti with the government and the turmoil within the government of Haiti, which continues to be an issue. And for those of you who don't kind of understand, you know, that the economics of Haiti are such that as American dollars have come in, inflation has become a bigger and bigger problem. And so just recently, within the last few weeks, the government has started to decrease the money supply in order to create deflation in Haiti. which is, of course, causing a lot of short-term unrest. But hopefully long-term, it can be a solution to, your everyday Haitian who's trying to work and earn a living. With those inflated dollars, it just really becomes a big issue. And so we need to continue to pray for Haiti as a nation, and especially in these times with their government and those monetary issues. So, as I was preparing this morning, I got into 1 John this week, and I thought, well, I think I'll just share that. So I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 17. So if you want to follow along, you can open up your Bibles this morning. I'll read that, and then we can pray together. First letter of John. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have heard from the beginning, that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that this world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but it is from the world. And the world is passing away, along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Father God, we thank you this morning that we can come together to celebrate those who've been called out. God, and we're here to recognize that you have called us all by name. As your disciples, God, we come to you and cry out to you in these songs that we have sung this morning. God, we ask that you would hear our prayer. The Lord, in your mercy, you would hear our prayer. And Lord, as you have spoken to us through this word, I pray that my words would fall away and that your words would come through clearly, and that you would teach us this morning about who we are and about who we are in you. Father, we're thankful for your great faithfulness to us. We thank you for your provisions, God, that we can steward to bless others. God, I'm just so encouraged by the work that you're doing through the brothers and sisters here this morning. God, here in Embarrass and throughout Minnesota and to the ends of the earth. Father, may we be capable, faithful stewards of all that you've given us. In Jesus' name. So you guys probably don't really need me to get much more out of this. I feel like I could read this letter a couple more times and be good. But this question of loving one another becomes central, right? I mean, if Jesus said, here's two commandments for you, this is pretty much it, right? I mean, to paraphrase the gospel, is you're going to love each other and you're going to love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, soul, and your mind, and your strength, right? So loving one another is something that we have to try to get right. It's something that we have to focus on, right? It has to be a focal point of our life. And as called out ones, as the ecclesia, like to be missionaries is to be loving the other. And we're all called to that. So really, as I look at that and I look into, at our cultural response to COVID-19 and all the things that are going on in our world, the Black Lives Matter movement, all these things that are happening in our culture, like, the question that kind of stands out to me from this text is, you know, what is your identity? What is your identity going to be, Eric? What are you going to choose? And John, the patriarch of the faith, is writing a letter. And I love this letter because John is calling these people his little ones, right? And they're probably just like, you know, you and me, from the youngest to the oldest in this room. John is talking to all of us, and he's calling us these beloved little ones. You know, and I know a lot about that. I have a lot of them. And as I watch them grow up, you know, I'm like, this is amazing, right? I mean, 11 little people growing up, and our oldest is in college now. She's a sophomore, and I'm thinking to myself, where did my baby go, right? And many of you know this experience, right? It's a real thing. And John is speaking to us about our identity. And there's two main you know, components of the scripture. And one is love one another, and the other is don't love the world, right? And you can't do one, you know, and the other at the same time. You can't do that. Because if I have love for my neighbor, it's going to cost me something. And if I have love for the world and the things of the world, it's going to cost me something. You know, and that really hits home hard. So I am the father of 4 daughters and 7 sons. And this fall, because cross country is up and running, I have been the great privilege to be an assistant coach on my boys' cross country team. And I just really enjoy watching them run. Probably mostly because I'm not running. you know, it's a great thing to be a dad, right? I mean, you get to sit back, you get to tell them exactly what to do. You know, this is what you're going to do in mile 2, this is what you're going to do in mile 3. Like, focus, be attentive, and you can sit back and drink lemonade and have a donut, you know, whatever. So, but you know, the point is, I'm so focused in on their best, right? On them being excellent at what they're doing. And we're talking about running here, so it's really not that big a deal. But that translates into life, right? Because what we focus on is what we can do well. And so are we focusing in on the love of one another? Or are we focusing in on our stuff? Are we focusing in on our little world that we've created? You know, and I wish that I could stand here and say that I've done that really well. You know, I'm still working on loving other people. I'm not there yet, right? I'm still in mile 2. I've got a long ways to go. And the third mile is the hardest one, right? Like, going that extra mile. I was reading with the kids in devotions the other day, and we were reading in Matthew chapter 5. And we got to verse 41. And Jesus says, you know, if the man asks you to go 1 mile, I got a better idea. Why don't you go with him 2? Right? And I'm like, okay, let's just skip over that and pray. Because going the second mile with people, right? Like, that is the hard part, right? And I'm sure that Steve could attest to that. You know, as we go the second mile with people that maybe are even hard to be around, like people that are even in a desperate place or in a lonely place or in a hardened place, when we go the second mile with them, it's difficult. It hurts. It's painful. And yet Jesus is calling us to that. John is asking us in this letter. You know, and if you go through verses 13 and 14, you see that John is identifying, right? He's identifying who these people are that he's writing to. He's writing to the children. He's writing to the fathers. He's writing to the young men, right? And he's writing to the young girls and the mothers and the young women, right? He's writing to all of them. And he's exhorting them in different ways. But what he's doing is he's giving them this marker. I'm identifying you for who you are. And this is why you're strong. Because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the evil one. I've just got a couple minutes left. I wanted to read out of Ephesians real quick. And I really want to focus in on Ephesians 2, verse 6. But if you go to starting with verse 4, we're just going to read through verse 6 there. You know, identity this morning is important. Like, when someone asks you, who are you? What do you do? Right? That's the first thing we usually ask a person we have never met before. What do you do? Right? Because that, and what we say next is how we identify ourselves to that other person. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And, by grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So this week, as we go about our lives, and people we're interacting with people in our families and with our friends and with our coworkers, as we're going through our lives, are we seated with Christ? Are we seated with Christ? And Paul goes on to say, you know, that we are his workmanship, created for good works in Christ. And, you know, I just take great courage from that. I take great courage from that. Because as we look at this kind of paradigm of loving the other versus loving the world, we got big choices to make there. And I'm so thankful, again, you know, that as we are called out to be missionaries right here where we are, to be missionaries in other places throughout this world, that God is granting us the grace and the wisdom, but primarily that he's granting us his identity as seated with him in heavenly places. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. I'll invite Zach and the worship team back up. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for these words. God, we thank you for just your great loving kindness. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness towards us this morning, that merciful love of a father who focuses in to guide and direct his kids. Lord, and we just sit here in awe, Lord, of the way that you call us your beloved, the way that you reach out to us where we are. And so I pray here this morning, God, here in Embarrass, Minnesota, God, that you would meet us, God, that you would go with us, that you would guide and direct our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, grant us the grace of knowing our identity. God, the grace of knowing that we are seated with you in Christ. When we have called on your name, Lord, to be saved, we've called on your name, Lord Jesus, you come and you are faithful. You're just to forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Lord, thank you for this morning. We thank you for those here who serve you. And God, we ask that you would come, that you would be our God, and that we would be your people. In Jesus' name.